The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
And cut.
All right, we get it?
I think so.
All right, great. Just make sure the Cobra Kai snake comes in at the end, all right? I want it to really pop. Make it chrome. And throw Thunderstruck under it.
I'm pretty sure the rights for that song will cost too much.
No, I already own it. Cassette's in the car. Oh, and put one of those hash browns at the end, you know, like hash brown Team Cobra Kai or something. And then send it to the internet!
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
I'm Richard.
And I'm Rima.
This is House Podcastica Cobra Kai Edition.
This week we're covering Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4, Fire and Ice, and The Moment of Truth.
And we're recording these out of order. So the most recent episode that we recorded was on Karate Kid 3. And then since then, I went to the Devil's Cauldron. Well, I was probably about 10 feet away and didn't realize it. I think I've told you guys this story off the podcast both, but I wanted to scout it out because I was up in the area because my aunt lives in Fort Bragg. And so I thought, what the hell? I'll go, you know, it's like 10 miles away from her, or maybe even a little less. So we went looking for it. Yeah. And it turns out it's not like a, you know, an open park or anything. It was this point off the freeway. So we had to find a place to park nearby. And I climbed over this barbed wire fence, and I the landscape looked familiar. And I saw this line of trees that looked like it came right out of the movie. So I'm like, I got to get over to that. So Nico and I went over there, and it was, you know, there was kind of a trail, but you could tell it wasn't very well used. And then it ended. And so I was just walking through the brush, and I had my shorts on and everything. And I saw a hole, like a big, but it was so steep to get over to where you could even see down it that I was afraid that Nico was going to fall in. So I'm like, oh, I better stop here. You know, it's feeling like it's a little dangerous. So we left without really confirming that it was it. Like, I could see down in the hole, but not far enough to actually see the water down there. I couldn't get over to the edge enough. And then when I looked, I took a bunch of pictures, came home, looked at the Karate Kid Part 3 on screen, and I lined up one of the pictures I'd taken with one of the pictures in the movie. And I was like, this is exactly the tree line that I was looking at. Because I could see, you know, it's been like 30 years, so the trees aren't exactly the same, but I could see the way that the hills were shaped, that it was the same and the same kind of trees. And then as the camera was looking at that, like in the next 3 seconds, it just went straight forward and down into the Devil's Cauldron. And so then I realized, oh, I was right on the edge of it right then. I didn't need to walk around and go to those trees.
Right there.
God damn it. And now my legs are covered in all these like rashes for this shitty movie.
It's worth it. It's sacrifice, and take it for the team.
It was worth it, man.
It's, well, research.
I think, yeah, I'm going to recruit Richard, and we'll go up there on a weekend and go back.
Take some rope. Yeah.
If you don't hear from us.
Yeah, take some rope.
Yeah. We'll bring back
grab my Elvish rope.
And wear long pants.
Yes. That's a must.
Just my suggestion.
Yeah. You're right. Those shrubs that are off the Pacific Coast Highway, man, that's some serious shrubs. They'll tear you up.
Yeah. I think I have delicate skin too. I've been inside for the last 20 years, and so
yeah, but, skin gets thinner with age too, you know?
Yeah, but I'm glad we watched the two movies because now we're getting more of the references, and we probably should have watched all three before we started watching Cobra Kai, because now, you know, we're reminded of things that have showed up in Cobra Kai, like the kata that Daniel does and the focus exercises and the hammering of the nail in one shot and the two rules of Miyagi karate and all that.
Yeah, it was timely. They had a couple references to the third movie in these two episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. And it also made me really want to see some of these other characters come onto Cobra Kai. Like, I know you guys didn't like Terry Silver as much as I did, but I'd love to see him come back and just act all nuts on Cobra Kai.
It would be interesting.
He would pretty much fit in, huh?
I mean, this show feels like the kind of show where you can bring back as many people as you want, and it would be fun. Chozen, yeah. I know it'd be cool if Chozen comes back.
I have a theory about that, by the way. I think we'll talk about later.
Okay, cool.
Oh, cool.
Kumiko, I'd like to see.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Okay, so this episode, we're doing our top three highlights for Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 3 and 4, Fire and Ice and The Moment of Truth. What did you guys think of these two?
Oh, they're pretty good. I think I liked Fire and Ice a little better than the second one, The Moment of Truth, episode 3, because it was funny. I think it had a little more humor. Mm-hmm. And then episode 4 kind of got a little more down to business with the drama. But altogether, yeah, I thought they were great.
Remo?
I agree. Yeah, I completely agree with Rich. Episode 3 was probably just a little bit more fun for me. But I guess, you know, sometimes we need a little bit of the drama, I guess, to kind of balance out, you know, some of the funny stuff. So I thought they were both great episodes and fun to watch, and both had their highs and lows. So I liked them. Yeah,
me too. Like, I've been sort of waiting for this season to not be as good because I remembered it not being as good. But so far, they're better than I remembered. And I do think the second half is where it might peter out a bit, but we'll see. But anyway, these two are like, and one of the moments that stood out was, which I'm sure we'll talk about, the whole sequence of Johnny discovering computers. That's like one of my favorite sequences in this whole series so far.
That's what I was just realizing. You know, episode 3 was more like the first season.
Yeah.
And then episode 4 was,
more soap opera.
Exactly. It was like the whole episode was like one giant after school special for kids.
I know. And I hope they don't like try to move it over to, like, you know, pass the torch over to the younger kids. Screw that.
Yeah.
That's not what we're watching.
But I saw there's some YouTuber, Cobra Kai kid, and he looks like he's probably 14 or 15 and he's doing, you know, news and stuff like that. Of course, he's on YouTube, so he's getting about 10 times as many views as we do listeners. But I don't know if he likes the young ones better or the older guys. I'm not sure.
Yeah, right.
Anyways, I liked it. I liked it, too. So, and I actually, there were some moments that I felt moved by. The music helps. I think they pick really good music for this. But anyway, I thought it was a good balance of funny and kind of poignant moments. So, Rima, why don't you go first? What's your number three?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, we kind of already touched on it about one of our favorite moments from episode 3, and that was Johnny and his adventures discovering the internet. I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. It was like my absolute favorite from both episodes combined. This definitely stood out to me. I love, poor guy can't even turn on his PC, you know, his laptop. And I just died when he opened it, and it's running on Windows XP. I can't believe that it is still operational. That,
I know. And he would buy his computer from a pawn shop.
Right.
Totally. Yeah, it made perfect sense. We see the same guy, you know, that we saw, I believe, in season 1 from the pawn shop when Johnny was selling, you know, having to sell a bunch of his stuff or whatever.
Right. And, I forgot about that.
So, yeah.
Funny to sell him the coins.
Yeah, gold coins, real gold. So it was good to see him again, and kind of how he was leaning on him as like his tech support, like he, you know,
like I'm a pawn shop.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Not the Geek Squad. Yeah.
What's Wi-Fi?
And when he went in there and he slams it down, I'm like, geez, be careful. Those are delicate. And then he's like, well, kid from my dojo told me to get an apple. You sold me a lemon, haha.
Well, those older ones can take a licking. It's not like they are now. I feel like today's laptops are probably a little bit more delicate, but those old ones.
Disagree.
But, you know.
Okay, fine. There's many more moving parts than those older ones, but okay.
Yeah, but I tell you what, I had an old Toshiba that it took a beating and it stayed strong. So, you know, I mean, it didn't get tossed around, but, you know, it took a few licks and it held up. So I wouldn't dare treat it like I did, you know, do my Mac today for sure. So
you never owned a computer before? Yeah, I'm not a nerd.
I haven't heard that word Toshiba in a long time. Right on, Rima.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm old school. That was also on Windows XP, by the way. I still have it, too. I loved that damn laptop. That thing stayed strong for like 10 years and was always good to me. And I hated to like kind of retire it, but I couldn't let it go. It's in a closet somewhere. So I love how when he finally figures it out, gets it turned on, gets his Wi-Fi hooked up, and he completely goes down this internet rabbit hole, which I feel like so many of us can probably kind of relate to the first Heck time. Yeah. Like when the internet
Every day
was new
I do
to
that.
You. Oh, for sure. I'm still guilty of that, but like the newness of it and that, you know, when all these different sites are coming up and you can just see all these different, you know, how it's like conspiracy theorists and, you know, all these different things. And then he discovers porn.
He's got no filter for it. Like he doesn't know. Well, it was funny because like, have you tried? He's like, move, you stupid arrow. And he's getting all crazy. Where's the internet? And then he calls the guy. Yeah, asshole, I clicked all the buttons. I still can't find the internet. Have you tried connecting to Wi-Fi? Obviously, what's Wi-Fi? And then when he gets connected, immediately, like less than a second, types in hot babes.
Right.
Totally.
I love that. It's so funny. First thing. Wi-Fi connected hot babes.
Yeah. Wet t-shirt contest. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. I totally relate to that. You know, newness of the internet, like, wow, look at all, there really is everything out here and kind of just getting lost in it. And again, yeah, I'm guilty of that too. I have to straighten myself out and stop getting myself distracted sometimes by the rabbit holes I find myself in. But just a super fun moment with Johnny, as always. I can always rely on him every episode to keep me rolling. So
back in the 90s when the internet was first, you know, the World Wide Web was first, well, it was first made, but then it started getting popular in the late 90s. And I was in grad school in Boston, and I would go to the Harvard Computer Library to do my work, and they had internet, and it was open 24 hours. So one night I just stayed there all night, just listening to 80s songs and just go, like him, you know. I was like, oh my god, there's so much stuff here. And next thing you know, the sun's coming up. So he's doing hot babes, and then he does wet t-shirt contest, and you can't see what he's seeing, but he looks over. Well, no, when he types in hot babes, then he leans back and looks out the door to make sure no one's watching.
Right.
He does wet t-shirt contest, and then we don't see what he sees, but he's got this look on his face like, oh my god, and then his eyes are darting back and forth. Then he does Iron Eagle and Bloodsport, and then he's looking up Bloodsport trivia, and he's like, what? then he finds a website, The Actual Truth, huge government cover up, click here. And then he clicks and it says proof that dinosaurs built the pyramids. He's like, I knew it.
Knew it.
Then he's watching.
That was my favorite part.
Chuck Norris and kicking this guy in the face. That gets thumbs up. He's like, you know, giving movies thumbs up. Then he sees this YouTube karate tournament and he's like, you got to block that. And then the ad comes up and he's like, stupid ad. So he's
stupid
already,
ads,
like bummed out by ads. And of course it's a Miyagi-Do karate ad, because that's Johnny's bane of his existence, is he's forever interrupted by Daniel LaRusso wherever he turns, even on his new computer. And then it features Daniel kicking Johnny in the face, of course. He's got to see that all the time. And then anyway, I love that scene.
That was the best. Well, that was pretty much everything I was going to say. It was a good lead-in too, with the at the end.
Sorry,
when he was,
yeah, it was a nice lead-in to the episode, the commercial for the Miyagi-Do karate. I'm trying to find something else to add to that. Oh, did you see there was a lot of placement too, a lot of product placements. You had the Coors bottle on the desk, right on top of the book for Internet for Dummies, as he's looking at his Dell surfing YouTube. I was like, you go, YouTube.
The ad is very Daniel LaRusso, especially in this series, where he's trying his damnedest to be balanced and centered, and he's talking about how you're going to learn focus and balance, and but he's still like, don't be a snake in the grass. You know, he can't help but needle.
Still, yep, still poke it, Johnny.
Yeah, and also to say, and to offer it for free, so he's just trying to do everything he can to dominate and everything.
Johnny had all the humor on his side this go around. Daniel was kind of being a jerk again, so I think I was team Johnny for this episode.
Yeah, it definitely goes back and forth, but yeah, this one team Johnny. I like how
I thought it was pretty balanced.
I liked how, you know, Johnny's got his first day, night, whatever time that was. Looks like it might have been in the evening. He was probably up all night, like you, Jason, at the library, where he was probably on the internet all night long, probably stayed there in his office all night, browsing and going down that rabbit hole. I like how he, after this, you know, first foray into the internet and this first time being exposed, he's now thinks he's almost like an expert at it when he's telling, when he makes his own commercial, when Aisha's filming him, and he's, you know, you know, do this with the logo and do this for the music and throw some hash browns on it, like, you know, hash brown team Cobra Kai, and send it to the internet.
Send it to the internet. What you need is like bone crushing, face smashing, good old American karate. Don't be a pussy.
Yeah, good old American karate.
I love that he's now a marketing genius and knows how to promote on the internet. Yeah. After that,
he's like Mr. Producer now.
Yeah, he's so good.
All right, so since we had a funny one, I'll do moments that more moved me. I guess, yeah, probably the one that moved me the most was when Johnny sat with Miguel at the burger joint and told him about how he wasn't there for his son Robbie when he was born.
Yeah.
And that his mom recently died, and he never knew his father, which I don't know if we knew. His mom died right before, you know, his wife got pregnant, and suddenly he was going to be a father, and he freaked out, and he went on a 3-day bender and sat there across the street but couldn't get up the courage to go show up. And I would feel pretty judgmental about that. Like, personally, I never knew my father, and I kind of resented that he, you know, was never around. And I wasn't sure I would be a good father because of that, especially to boys. And ended up having two boys, but I felt really determined to be there for them no matter what, kind of because I didn't have a, you know, father figure of my own. But, you know, I think it's great that he's sorry about that, and he's really trying to change. So that's cool.
Yeah. That moment too was some pretty good acting too by William Zabka. Yeah. He put on the acting chops for that scene.
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah. I was impressed. Yeah. He was really good.
Yeah. I think he's really good. And especially when he said, you know, he was like about to break up, you know, like break down, and he's like, I failed my kid on his very first day in this world, and I've been failing him ever since. It's one of the most painful things in my life. Then he says, but one of the best things has been teaching you. And I want you to know, no matter what happens, I promise I'll always be on your side and always have your best interests at heart. That was just a really nice moment between Johnny and Miguel.
Yeah, but did it work? I have a feeling Miguel's having second thoughts.
What do you mean?
I don't know. He just seems he's questioning Johnny about Kreese. You know, he's like, you know, Sensei, you kind of hid the fact that, you know, Robbie was your son. I don't know. Yeah. I'm getting a feeling that maybe he's having second thoughts.
I mean, Johnny is always saying, there's nothing to worry about. I got it. Like, when they were doing the whole cement truck thing, and Kreese is like, have you ever done this before? And he's like, no, don't worry, I got it.
Yeah.
Or to Miguel's mom a couple episodes ago, like, I didn't like that look on Miguel's face. Don't worry, you know, I won't let him go astray. Yeah, in this episode, Miguel's worried about what kind of guy Kreese is. And he's like, I got it. And then at the end, when he like lets Kreese teach the move, when Hawk asks, what do you do when someone attacks from behind?
Yeah.
And, why don't you show that, Mr. Kreese? And Miguel's like, are you sure? And then Johnny's all, yep, don't worry about it, it's fine. And then Kreese like pretty much lays out this metaphor for striking someone when their guard is down.
Mm-hmm. Especially when their guard is down. This is when you strike the hardest.
Yeah. Which is sort of like, you know, Johnny is maybe not bright enough to realize he might be talking about him right at this moment.
Yeah.
And Hawk was all for it, but then Miguel was like, I don't know.
I don't know. I don't know if that means that Miguel, maybe you're right, that Miguel's Johnny isn't quite as high up in his estimation as he used to be. I don't know. I can't remember what happened in the rest of the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Johnny was drunk and scared when Robbie was born, so really not much has changed.
The moment between Robbie and Daniel's wife, Amanda, at the hotel, I was pretty moved by that, where the hotel guy was going to kick him out and she stood up for him and then said, what was that all about? And, oh, I used to be a different person before I met you. Did you hurt anybody? No, but maybe that guy was right. Maybe I should go. No, we all make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we do next time that counts. That was a nice moment. And you know, I actually like Robbie better as a genuinely nice guy than I did when he was a little prick. Yeah. I like the character better. And I don't always like nice guy characters better. I like nasty characters just as well. But for some reason with this actor, it works better for me when he's a good guy. And I was questioning, is he just pretending or is it genuine? But I think it's pretty clear that it's genuine, because then, you know, he goes to his no good ex-friends and tells them that they should give all the wallets back that they stole. So
yeah,
it seems like he's on the up and up.
He's got nowhere else to go.
I liked when Daniel's walking on the beach. He just kept getting undermined at every turn, trying to market his karate dojo, and he's feeling lost. And the beach is, you know, it shows up in the Karate Kid movie, so it's appropriate for him to go there to try to think. And then he sees this guy that looks like he's wearing the same clothes that Miyagi used to wear, his brown kind of drab clothes, and
khakis.
Yeah, and he's fishing, and then he gives him some Miyagi like advice. What did he say? If you got something worth biting, eventually the fish will find you. You just have to be patient. And Daniel's like, you're more like my friend than I thought. I like that moment. That was pretty cool.
He's like, Miyagi, are you in there?
Yeah. Gives a big hug. Hey, get off me, man.
I wonder who he expected to really see. I mean, it's like, you know, that's not Mr. Miyagi, right? I mean,
yeah, he was just probably curious. Yeah, I know. He kind of acted like he was thinking it might be Miyagi. Yeah.
Maybe like a force ghost. Yeah.
And then I got two more with Kreese at the end. When he, it turns out all his talk about being in the military again was and killing warlords and shit was bullshit. And Johnny finds him at the homeless shelter and he tells him his real story, that it was tough after he lost the dojo and he tried reenlisting, but they wouldn't take him because of he failed his psych evaluation. And he kind of glossed over
a
lot.
That.
Yeah. Right. I banged around here and there doing this and that. And then I got old, and the last 10 years I've been living in places like this. And he heard about Johnny and Cobra Kai, felt like that was his second shot. But he feels like he's a broken man and can't be fixed. And Johnny says, that sounds an awful lot like defeat, but I was taught defeat does not exist in this dojo, does it? And he says, Cobra Kai wouldn't exist without you. You want a chance to redeem yourself? You got it, but you got to do things my way. That worked for you? And they shake hands and he goes, yes, sensei. But then of course Kreese undermines that by, when, Johnny lets him teach Hawk the move. He says, the key to this move is making your enemy think that you're retreating, but just when they let their guard down, that's when you strike the hardest. So I don't know. It's weird. Like, I believed everything that Kreis said this time about how he tried to reenlist, but they wouldn't let him in, and that he then banged around. And when he saw Cobra Kai, he thought maybe that would be his chance, but maybe not to redeem himself. That's the only part. Like, what is he up to? What do you guys, what do you guys think?
I mean, I think he was honest about what he was telling Johnny, but I'm like you, I don't believe that he's in it. I think he's going to try and take it away from Johnny.
That's what, maybe that's what he wants to do, huh? Totally just take it away from him. Yeah.
Yeah. Undermine Johnny and get the kids on his side and just take it away from him.
Right.
Getting a little taste of the former glory, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of wondered if, you know, like, did he have any kind of a trademark? I guess it would have run out by now. But anyway, yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, I don't know why that didn't occur to me, but that sounds totally right. Like, just take it away from him. And when he was telling Johnny what really happened, I kept wondering if he'd explain what happened with Terry Silver, because what we saw at the end of Karate Kid 3 was Terry was, I don't know if he already had or he was about to purchase a bunch of, or open up a chain of dojos, and he does say, one of my war buddies offered me a job, but I felt it was a handout. So they did sort of touch on that. So he didn't take it. And then the last one, I was actually even moved by the moment with Dimitri at the end, even though I don't really like the character of Dimitri that much. when Daniel is at the dojo and, you know, at Miyagi's place, and he tells the Robbie and Samantha, we need to be patient and let those who need us find us. And then Dimitri comes in and Daniel's like, can I help you? And he goes, yeah, I want to learn karate. And Daniel's like smiling, you've come to the right place. I just thought that was a nice moment too.
Yeah. Dimitri. Yeah. Do you love him or hate him? I don't know. It's like when he came in at the beginning of episode 4 and he was just talking and talking. It's like, oh man, this kid's going to get his ass beat. He's so annoying. But then he walks out all, you know, upset, and because Kreis punched him in the face and he had a bloody nose. And then I felt bad. I was like, no, you can't hit kids.
Yeah, that's I find Dimitri kind of annoying too. And I'm just kind of like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
But I did feel really bad for him. You know, I mean, I think he's an okay character. He's not a bad person or anything like that. He's just kind of annoying, and that's okay. There are annoying people in our lives. It doesn't mean we have to hate on them or anything. But I did feel bad for him when he confronted Kreis. I thought, oh, this is not going to go well. And when he starts critiquing his tattoo, and he walks out with a bloody freaking nose, and I'm like, you can't do that. He's a minor. I mean, it doesn't matter anyway. He really shouldn't. Well,
Johnny's like, he probably deserved it when Miguel tells him.
Yeah, I was like, come on. I was like, he's still. I mean, it was not provoked. I mean, just because he's dissing on his tattoo doesn't give him, you know, right to punch him in the face. And he's a minor. I'm like, dude, so wrong.
And maybe what we all want to do, but not what you should do.
Exactly. Right? But you might think about doing it, but
yeah, but
you
it's,
don't act on it.
I think for this show, it's of course, it's not cool at all. But I think it was a an okay way for the show to go. You know, Kreis. He comes in and starts messing with Kreis. Kreis is a cobra. You fuck around with him, he's going to attack.
Yeah.
Oh, totally appropriate for the show. But I felt really bad for him.
Yeah.
He's got his own little story arc going there. You know, he did that. And then at the end of episode 4, he's showing up over at Daniel's place for the Miyagi-Do.
Right.
He's taking the bait.
Because I was wondering, because I remember Dimitri ended up with Miyagi, but I was like, how did that happen? Because he seems like he would be with Cobra Kai. So now we know. But, I did like when Hawk was like, you know what happens to snitches? And he goes, they get immunity.
Yeah. And he's like, no, they get stitches. And he's like, I've already got stitches.
Yeah, what's going to happen between him and Hawk now? Are they going to... What if Dimitri becomes a stone-hard badass? That would be pretty cool.
That would be cool.
I mean, that's another problem with the show where... You know, seems like the three of us like it better when they focus more on the adults. But half the kids are just super annoying. Yeah. Like Dimitri, this new guy from the Home Depot place, he's annoying. Sometimes I find Robbie annoying.
80s fanboy. Yeah.
Hawk is just a total dick.
What's that guy's name? The guy from Home Depot.
I can't remember. Is it?
I don't know if they gave
him a nickname or something.
I can't remember.
I don't remember. I don't. If they gave him a name, I don't remember. I just keep thinking of him as the 80s fanboy from the hardware store.
He's a little wiser than the teenagers. I mean, he knew what Johnny was after. He's like, here's my money.
Got expendable cash, man. Right, yeah. Live in my mom's basement. I got extra cash to spare.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay, Rima, what's your number two?
Okay, so my number two, I wanted to just kind of talk a little bit. It's kind of short and sweet, but, you know, I'm always a fan of the fighting sequences and any parts of the action, which this show is never short of any action. I like the demos that they had at that Valley Fest and the differences between the two, how they had the different styles. And, you know, even though I lean a little bit more on the fighting style and a little bit more of the, I hate to say aggression, because I feel that might be, I know that's kind of where they're at, but I just I think I like that a little bit more. But I do like the balance with Daniel and the two kids with their styles and how they demonstrated what Miyagi-Do has to offer. And I really hate that we didn't get to see Daniel doing his chopping the blocks of ice,
right,
like we had in Karate Kid 2. I was waiting for that. I forgot that didn't happen. I was like, oh man.
The kind of cool aspect of him not doing it was that, yeah, you get all geared up for it, and then he gets interrupted again, which is a it keeps happening over the course of these two episodes. These are actually two episodes to cover together. And then you see the ice melting at the end. So that was a nice touch.
Wah, wah,
it was
wah,
a nice touch. Yep. Lost that moment. But I thought it was really cool, the differences in the different styles, and, you know, seeing all the kids in their action and everything that they've learned with the, you know, the karate. And I really did kind of like Johnny's smirk there at the end when their demo was over, and he kind of looks over at Johnny and gives him a little smirk like, you know, now what, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, who like looked that. At who?
Johnny looked at Daniel after, like, when they were on stage after he had just crushed through the concrete blocks that were on fire, and everybody's cheering Cobra Kai, and he gives him a smirk. And
Did you like Daniel's? You were into the Daniel's presentation, or did you like Johnny's better?
I like Johnny's better, but I did enjoy Daniel's too. I liked the and if there's an official word for it, I'm terrible at that, but his weapon with the staff.
Bow staff.
Yeah.
Okay, yes, thanks. I thought that was really cool. I'm dying to learn one of those. Of course, in my class, we don't have weapons, but...
Yeah, so I guess that means that Miyagi taught him that at some point, or someone did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was the same way for that scene. I was like, I was totally into the Miyagi-Do, and I was like, oh, this is cool. And then, he, you know, because you knew he was going to do the whole ice thing. And then the Cobra Kai show up, but then I was like, yeah, the Cobra Kai one's better. Woo!
Heck yeah. Way
it's
better.
Probably the music that did me in. I was like, yeah, well, sound good.
When they first like came out, and it was a nice effect with the kind of silhouettes against this kind of cool background of the trees and stuff.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. it was kind of boring, and you know, it wasn't like super boring, but it wasn't super exciting. And like, I think I forgot the girl's name that used to be part of the Mean Girls and now dates Hawk. She was like, are they going to fight?
Moon.
And Demetra's like, I think so. And so then when, yeah, Daniel brought out the bow staff, that then it got a little more exciting, and Robbie flipped over one of them. But they did it on purpose just to really accentuate that Cobra Kai was more exciting with all the music and just, yeah, more, way more action and
yeah,
a little harder and stuff. I mean, I totally would have been more into that if I was at a fair. You know, I want totally. To see some action.
I felt like one of the audience members during that scene. That's what was cool about
yes,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you nailed it.
Like,
yeah,
oh, this
it
was, is cool. It, oh, this is really cool.
This is better.
Well, I feel, you know, Johnny has probably been to enough hard rock shows in his time that he knows how to put on a good show, and he probably pulled, you know, some inspiration from a lot of the shows that he watched, and he put on a show.
Right on, yeah. He should have bit the head off a rat. That would have been cool.
It was, you know, you kind of had to suspend your disbelief about how Johnny seemed to have just heard about that they were going to put on that demo that day and then suddenly whipped up his big show and somehow commandeered that stage with a big banner
yeah.
behind the mm-hmm. other banner that was there and the music and stuff. But oh well.
I think Kreese was over there at the mixing machine. It's like, oh, yeah. Wow.
He's like, more really? Sparks.
You couldn't find a job? Come on, man.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, oh. I agree. As much as I'm more Team Daniel, I thought the Cobra Kai demo was much more exciting.
Yep, for sure.
That was cool. Mm-hmm. Well, my number two was all about Kreese, but we pretty much covered everything there. I was pretty excited when they sat down at the homeless shelter and Johnny was, you know, going to find out about Kreese and what he's been up to all this time since Karate Kid 3. But, you know, like we already said, didn't really get much out of him except for that maybe
kinda
Terry
yadded a lot of it.
Yeah, maybe Terry yeah. was one of his war buddies that gave him a job. So he just, it's a handout, went, banged around different places. And then he got old. That part there, I felt that, you know, I'm like, can I just, I'm trying to find something. It's like a little empathy, a little sympathy for Kreese. And that almost got me. But then I'm like, nah, none of that really makes up for the fact that he's a dick. So it was kind of hard to watch Johnny do that, you know, because I'm like, no, Johnny, you're sort of kind of in a good place right now. You know, don't fall into that rabbit, that black hole that is John Kreese, you know?
Yes. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt more, I mean, when someone speaks a vulnerable truth, then I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And in the moment, it seemed like it was all true and it was something he didn't want to have to admit. You know, he'd been hiding it since he's been back in the series. So I fell for it. I mean, I already mentioned it. That was one of the moments that moved me. So I kind of fell for it. But then mm-hmm. At the end, I was just as duped as Johnny. Oh, crap.
Well, and because Johnny himself is, he's trying to redeem himself. Yeah. And he's trying to give people a second chance because he wants that second chance. So he feels like if I'm giving someone a second chance, people will give me a second chance and won't just see me as that punk bully of a kid, you know, that I'm trying to be better, you know, instead of being stuck in this box, you know, and being labeled this way. And so he's trying to do that same thing. It's just unfortunate that it's, you know, I feel he's totally being taken advantage of and
yeah.
being duped.
Yeah. I mean, he's said, if you're going to do it, you got to do it my way. And you know, he's, mm-hmm. he feels like, as we've talked about before in the series, that there were some things that Kreese taught that he doesn't like about fighting dirty mostly. Mm-hmm. So he is trying to kind of keep control of his mission, but still, yeah, like you said, he feels like he's being redeemed, so he needs to extend some of that and pay it forward to Kreese.
But Kreese almost killed him. That would be hard to forgive if, for me. Be like, yeah, remember that time you almost killed me?
Yeah, parking lot of the All Valley Karate Championship day. Yeah.
I mean, that was the first thing he said is, I just want to tell you I'm sorry. I went too far, you know.
I hear you, and you're old, and you're homeless. And remember that time you tried to kill me?
He does remember. He just apologized for it. But yeah, it's like, okay, fine. I don't forgive you. That's what he should have said.
Yeah. Maybe he just sees him as just old and sad and doesn't see him as quite the threat that he used to be.
That's part of it, I think. Yeah.
You know.
The other part
he just
is
found
it
him
makes,
in a homeless shelter.
Yeah. Well, the other part, too, is it makes for a great show.
Yeah, that too.
I mean, to be honest, if I was in that situation, I wouldn't bring him back into my life if I was trying to start a business. You know, I wouldn't do what Johnny did. I just too many bad feelings there, and I don't.
Maybe forgive him and just let him go.
Ain't nobody got time for that. So as much as I'm saying, you know, I kind of felt like that was a nice moment, I can also see what you guys are saying. Like, no, you blew your chance.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to find some empathy for Kreese, but I just can't get out of my mind all the stuff he's done.
Yeah. I mean, you also got to remember that before that moment in the parking lot, he was pretty much Johnny's dad, you know?
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's like,
which is like an even a bigger impact.
A bigger betrayal. Yeah.
Betrayal. Okay. There you go. That's the word.
Yeah. And it totally did impact the rest of his life. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it screwed up his whole life.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. Okay. Where are we here?
You're number two.
Number two.
My number two. Some callbacks and some background. So Daniel complaining to Amanda about Kreese, you know, because she's like, is this a midlife crisis? And then you don't understand. With Kreese back, I got to go extra hard, which is why he put out this ad and made his karate free. And he mentions that Kreese faked his death twice, apparently. So that we saw he pretended to be dead in Karate Kid 3. And then in Cobra Kai, Johnny thought he was dead and told Daniel he was dead. So to Daniel, it seems like Kreese faked his death twice.
Yeah.
Johnny corrects Kreese that Miguel is from Ecuador, not Mexico. And I think Miguel used to have to correct Johnny on that a couple of times.
Yeah. He did. So Johnny grew a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. Johnny painted, like, stenciled Cobra Kai Never Dies on the wall there. And the first time we saw that was in Karate Kid 3 when Kreese or Terry Silver said to Kreese, Cobra Kai, and he goes, never dies.
Oh yeah. And the convertible, huh?
Yeah. And I'm glad that they're taking stuff from that movie, even though I didn't think it was a very good movie, because there is some cool stuff in it. And that phrase is a good phrase to use for the show. When Daniel goes to this beach club and tries to talk to the parents about their kids, you know, doing karate, and he's saying the kids are always on their phone and it's tough to get a read on them. And Daniel says, you know, back in our day, our moms knew there was a problem when we came home with a black eye. That's a reference to Karate Kid when he came home with a black eye and his mom said, let me see your baby browns.
Yeah.
And then Daniel says, that's why I'm going old school. And the guy says, oh yeah, what are you up to? And Daniel says, funny you should ask, which is the same thing Miyagi said when Daniel asked him what these Japanese sanders are. Funny you should ask.
That's what a good car salesman says too.
I need a car that does this. Samantha accuses Tori of stealing her mom's wallet, and they get into a scuffle, and Samantha ends up in the buffet and gets food all over her. And I thought, oh, that's kind of like Daniel with the spaghetti. Did you guys think about that?
Oh no, I just couldn't get the whole after school special vibe out of my mind.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, rainbow appears. The more you know.
The more you know. Yeah.
I thought this family has a knack for just getting food all over them.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Good point.
Yeah, the ice blocks from Karate Kid 2 we mentioned. It was nice to see Daniel driving the old 47 Ford Super Deluxe convertible that Miyagi gave to him on his 16th birthday.
Yeah, that was cool. He was fixing it up.
That alley wrecked.
That alley wrecked.
Yeah, right.
Damn it, Allie.
Right before she left him.
You better be in season three.
Yeah, when Daniel was telling Samantha about his girlfriends and, you know, he said, then I met Allie and, you know, I thought she was the one. And then Samantha was like, what happened with that? And Daniel says, oh, that's a story for another time. Mm-hmm. Is the story, well, she wrecked my car and went off with this guy from UCLA.
The quick story.
Right.
The sad ending.
I'm telling you, we got to hear Allie's side of things.
She's got to be in three so we can talk shit about her.
Yeah.
So then the last thing is Hawk is, you know, Miguel comes to the beach and he looks upset and Hawk's like, no more sulking around about Sam. And Miguel says, it's not about Sam, it's about Sensei. Hawk says, is this about his rap sheet? My parents read about it online. I think it makes him more badass. I don't think we've heard anything about that, right?
Right. I know. What is it? It's probably boring. From drunk driving.
Right. Yeah. DUI. Totally. Yeah,
disturbing the peace.
That was interesting. I wonder if we're going to get more on that.
Peeing in public or something.
Or maybe it's like punching people in the face. You seem to talk about that a lot. Okay, that's all I got.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, there was a lot of focus on 2 and 3 in these episodes. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's on me, isn't it? My number one. Well, I enjoy... Okay, so she's a little bit of a bad girl. I get that. I can't say I like that, but what I do like...
Who?
About Tori with a Y.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Is I'm just saying hell yes to the new girl on the block with some female representation of the ass-kicking variety.
Yeah.
I like that. I don't love that she's a bad girl and that she's a bit of a thief, but I'm just glad to see another girl in the mix. It's little testosterone heavy in the show. I know we've got Sam and we've got Aisha, but it's good to see another girl in the mix. And I'm not including the adults here. I know that there's Amanda, Daniel's wife, but just glad to see another girl representing some badassery and that she, you know, wasn't afraid to take on Miguel, you know, who was the champion you know, kind of show her stuff. So I like that.
Yeah, you mentioned she's a thief and this may say something about me, but I feel like I can... excuse a little bit more swiping a bottle of vodka from behind the bar than maybe some other kinds of thievery.
You sure you want to go here, Jason?
You know, yeah, I mean, I mean, she's a kid and kids do dumb things and, you know, she didn't steal.
Right. If she had taken
mom's wallet, if she had done that.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, it's not good. Kids don't steal.
Don't steal.
Shouldn't be drinking either. All those Samantha drinks too. But, anyway, I'm just saying.
I know. And look, I'm not going to go into all the things I got in trouble for as a youth.
Oh, come on.
We're not.
Tell us one.
You know, I was so good at not getting caught. Why would I start confessing now?
Nice.
But yeah, there's certainly there might have been some.
One or some, two times.
A few times I might have ended up in handcuffs for some minor things, you know. But
police were involved, but.
Well, we're not going there. Sorry. That's a different conversation for another day.
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
Yeah, whole different podcast in subject matter. You know, yeah, there were times I was not the perfect youth. I was a bad kid for a couple of years there. I did some bad things and I'm not proud of course. So I'm not saying it's right and you should go steal things. I can see that. I'm not saying that's okay. But I do like her. I think maybe because I see a little bit of myself.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, they need to give these characters room for growth, for character growth. And
yeah.
She came in already. I agree. You know, the stealing isn't good. But she it's not as bad as it could be. And she also, I really liked the way that she was with Aisha because Aisha has gotten the short end of the stick as far as the way other girls treat her, including mm-hmm. Samantha and the Mean Girls. And so it was nice to see when she asked her, you want to go to the beach? She was just like, yeah, yeah. So that was just a nice moment, too.
Yeah,
I liked her, too. So she was great.
Yeah. I like she's got a little bit of an edge. Like I said, maybe it's because I see a little bit of myself, you know, at that age, maybe a little bit younger. I was kind of younger whenever I got into some things, but from like 12 to 15, probably years old. So I can kind of see that. And, you know, I had some not so great influences in my life that probably didn't lead me in a good path. And, you know, so I can relate to that. And like I said, just like representing, she's a little bit of a badass herself. She doesn't seem to be afraid of very many things that we know of yet. You know, we just met her, but you know, I like that. And then I like you said, I like how she did, you know, kind of stick up for Aisha and kind of had her back. And, you know, I like that. So it's fun to see a new character. I like her, you know.
Yeah, that was cool. That was like what Jason was alluding to. Aisha now has somebody, you know, because for so long here, she was kind of by herself in Cobra Kai. And then Samantha would kind of bring her back a little bit, and they would, oh, then she'd go back to Cobra Kai, then she'd bring her back over, you know, the good old times, good girl stuff, but now she's got a badass girl to hang out with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, we've never really seen, from day one of this series, you can tell that Samantha and Aisha used to be friends, but when the series starts, Samantha has kind of ditched her for these lame chicks, and mm-hmm. so, yeah, we've never really seen Samantha treat her all that well for any extended length of time.
Right. She was just stringing her along, but now I think this is the end. Because she's got a new buddy.
Yeah, you're right. Because, you know, there were times that those mean girls were not very nice to Aisha and making fun of her and making nasty videos and throwing them up on the internet and stuff. And Sam didn't say, I mean, she just kind of would look at the girls and she would barely say anything. I'm like, come on.
If that happened to your good friend, then you need to ditch those people.
Yeah.
But
you need to speak up, say something, and then ditch him.
Samantha, like, you know, accusing her of stealing Samantha's mom's wallet, and then them getting into a fight. That's another thing that this show does. That's like what they always used to do on Three's Company, have some misunderstanding, you know, to create drama and conflict, which is fine. I mean, we need, you know, they're all a bunch of just LA people. They would normally just be going to school and being boring. So we need karate fighting for some reason or other.
Let's all do that tomorrow. Let's go to work tomorrow and accuse somebody of stealing our wallets.
Yeah, and punch them in the face.
Just give it back to me. I know you took it.
Right. Funny. I work from home. Who am I gonna do that to?
Have to be your dogs.
They'll be like, get a straight jacket for this asshole. Man.
I'm not gonna like that. You know, and just a little bit of the lighter side about that conversation, Jay, earlier you were talking about throwbacks. How fun was it to see Tootie as Aisha's mom?
Right. From
that was super cool.
Facts of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. That poor actress, you just think Tootie as soon as you see her face.
She hasn't changed at all.
Kim Fields.
She looks exactly the same without the braces. Mm-hmm. I love that show.
Did you not watch that, Rich?
Facts of Life? Well, I've seen a few episodes here and there.
The Facts of Life.
I didn't watch it when it was out, though, no.
You take the good, you take the bad.
Yeah, I had a catchy cover song.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's your number one, Rich?
Number one, I'm surprised we haven't talked about it yet. Daniel kicking ass on the beach. Hello.
Miyagi style. Yeah.
Yeah. Am I right? Is this the first time we've actually seen him fight? Like full on? In this series? Because it felt like it. I was like, what? Well, hey, no. Here's Daniel. He's kicking ass.
Well,
didn't he fight?
Besides that kick to that his competitor, that other auto dealership guy, when he kicked the boba tea.
Didn't he fight Robbie's? No, Robbie fought them.
Robbie fought. Yeah, this is the second time Robbie fought his old gang. Yeah, but I could swear
Daniel has done a little bit, but I could be wrong because I can't think of what. Anyway, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Because I was surprised at my surprise when it happened. I was like, "What? Hey, Daniel's kicking three people's butts, and one of them was big." You know, it was a classic like 80s fight. I was like, "Yeah, right on." Although I have to say, it kind of ruined it after everything was done. I was just like, "Yeah, Daniel," and then he's like, "Your grandpa know how to move like that, huh?"
I know.
I was like, "Oh, me too." Dude.
If you just would have shut up, it would have been awesome.
Just walk away like a badass.
Don't say that.
Like, what are you going to
give say him your grandpa know how to move like that?
Yeah. I was like, so many scenarios would have been better. He could have just thrown some lollipops on him or something. It's like, kick some
Maybe
sand
he's
on him.
Just showing his age like Johnny does, you know, by being completely clueless about, you know, the modern world around him.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, that's, I agree.
You know.
Clueless.
But that was cool. So now we've seen Johnny fight. Well, we've seen him fight several times. Now we know that Daniel still got it. He can kick ass for three guys. So it's like, oh yeah, all right, man. Okay. When are the two mainstream guys going to fight? Come on.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the sort of criticisms I have of the Karate Kid movies is it's the Karate Kid, and Daniel knows karate, and he's learning from Miyagi, and I just want to see more him use that in a really effective way when he has to, you know? We're seeing this kid learn karate, so, I mean, he does use it occasionally, and in Karate Kid 2, I think there are some scenes where it seems the most effective, but here it was great, and I think Ralph Macchio probably wants it to look good. I think it looked just as good or better than any of the fighting he did in the movies.
Yeah,
they did a lot of cuts, so they probably had to, you know, stage each little bit, one thing part by part or whatever. I don't know.
Right. Mm-hmm. He is 58.
Right.
That blows my mind.
He's in good shape.
Yeah, he's in better shape here than he was in Karate Kid 3.
Yeah.
The dude doesn't age.
Right.
I know.
He was in, like I mentioned earlier, Dancing with the Stars. That's probably been like 6 or 7 years ago now, but you got to be in good shape for that.
Well, if you're not before, you are after because of, of the constant routine and demand that it, you know, takes. But yeah.
Who's the guy that never aged? He always did the countdown during New Year's Eve.
Dick Clark.
Yeah, maybe he's like Dick Clark and he's just going to age from 20 to 100 in 1 year.
Maybe.
I mean, he definitely looks, you know, older than he did in the Karate Kid movies.
He doesn't look almost 60.
No, right. Nope. He looks good. Okay, my number one is the whole struggle for Daniel to get his... to market Miyagi-Do karate and Cobra Kai, checking him at every turn, which was like, you just think, oh, this is going to be it. And so he puts up this YouTube ad, and then, and it talks about inner peace and focus and balance and a free lessons. And then, Johnny puts up his own ad. Screw that lame meditation bullshit. What you need is bone crunching, face smashing, good old American karate. And then, but that didn't really counter him all that well, I would say. But some students arrive and he immediately tells them to paint the fence, which is probably dumb.
Yeah. Like, what?
What? And then I thought, yeah, you know, if you offer free lessons and have them paint the fence, I think that's going to be more suspicious than if they had to pay for it. for some reason, you know?
I was like,
it's like, for free, it's just like you're trying to get them to paint your fence.
Exactly.
But paying, it's like a tactic, maybe.
You got to change your business plan, dude.
maybe don't lead with that.
Yeah, don't lead with that. And then Daniel sets up this demo at Valley Fest, which is a good idea, but, you know, a bit underwhelming. And then Cobra Kai comes in with their flashier one. And I'm like, whoa, that plan backfired. And then he tries talking to the kid's parents, but Aisha's mom is like, oh, yeah, Aisha did Cobra Kai. Now she's more confident and tougher. And then she busts out her phone and shows the video of the Valley Fest thing. And the dads are all, oh, why can't my kids do that? And Daniel's like, fuck. And you know, I think it's a little inconsistent that Daniel had so much trouble getting students, especially there with the parents, because the series has built him up to be this like karate celebrity. Seems like he'd be able to get some students just based off that, but you got to suspend disbelief there. Robbie, you know, at first I was like, wait, why did Robbie go out to the pier and all the wallets are there? But then on second watch, pieced together, oh, I guess they had this scam running at the hotel and that's why the guy was trying to get, you know, tell Robbie that he was going to call the police.
Right.
So when Amanda's wallet was missing, he knew that they were scamming again, I guess. A little bit of a coincidence. They were doing it again on the same day. But anyways, so he goes out there, puts up his phone to film, which I totally reminded me of Spider-Man, because in the comics, Peter Parker always sets up his camera to take pictures of himself as Spider-Man.
Yep.
And then that was a great misdirection, because I really thought, oh, this is how they're going to do it. You know, Robbie's going to film himself fighting these guys, and then whack, he gets hit in the back of the head with the oar. I was startled.
Yeah.
Misdirection. Then Daniel jumps in and you're like, oh, okay, this is gonna be it. And then I liked, you know, Daniel's like, no, that's not Miyagi-Do karate is about protecting yourself and defending others, not seeking credit. And I mean, the lesson he learned from the guy on the beach was, you know, you should put out this good offering and let people who need it find you. I'm like, yeah, you got to advertise. It's not great marketing, but it's a wise karate lesson. So, okay. And then Dimitri shows up. So it was sort of a harbinger of maybe good things to come. So that was a cool arc, you know, the whole two episode Daniel struggled to get Miyagi-Do off the ground. I mean, it's still just one more student and it's an annoying one at that, but you know, it seems like things are headed in the right direction now. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, things are looking up a little.
When Cobra Kai took over stage two at the fair, and then Aisha's mom was showing all the karate in our phone, I was like, what's the message here? The violence always draws a bigger crowd. Always.
That's what Robbie is saying earlier to Samantha. He's like, I know our karate is about defense and protection, but aggression is what people want to see.
Yeah. And offense.
She kind of jokingly says, well, why don't we go get in a fight and film it? And he's like, that's not a bad idea. And she goes, that's a horrible idea.
But he was right.
Yeah, he was right.
I don't know. I mean, when I was trying to figure out where to put Nico, because he ended up doing Kung Fu, I just wanted a teacher who I thought was engaging and a style that looked cool, basically.
Yeah.
If I didn't, but that was for a little kid. If you know, I wouldn't want to put him in like the most aggressive place I could find. That's not what I was looking for.
What were you looking for, Rima? Were you looking for offense or defense?
Both.
Both.
I mean, I'm not going out and just like punching people in the face, even though I have that want sometimes. I don't act on it. Mostly defense, you know, just being a woman in the world today. And, you know, I've been in situations where I've been taken advantage of and maybe not always had the upper hand. And I feel a little bit, you know, more in control and feel like I can take care of myself. You know, if I get approached and I'm in an uncomfortable situation, I can take care of myself. So it's unfortunate that that's the mindset that I to be in. But also, I've just always had a love for martial arts in general since I was a kid and growing up on 80s movies with, you know, watching Jean-Claude Van Damme and Chuck Norris. And, yeah, you know, I've just always been a fan and always wanted to learn something. And, you know, I could never really make the decision on which discipline I wanted to practice. And then the timing was never right. Cause then once I had my daughter, then it was like all about her, never about me doing something for myself. It was all focused on her. And so now that she's grown and I can actually think about myself for once, and I learned about Krav Maga, like, gosh, years ago. I don't even remember what movie it was, but you know, that's what they did in that movie. And I was like, I don't know what that fighting style is, but that's what I want to do. And when I did research and found out what it was, and I was like, well, that's what I'm
going
to do.
What movie was
and,
it?
You know, I don't know. It's been, they talk about it in a lot of movies, or just, not maybe not even talk about it, but just that fighting style. And it might have been one of the, like, the first Bourne movie. Bourne Identity, maybe.
Is that what he's using?
Most of it, yeah. I think that they yeah, I mean, I won't say that that's 100%, because a lot of times in movies they draw from like different styles, and when they choreograph, they'll, you know, the whoever it is training the actors will, you know, throw this in and they throw a little bit of that in. It's not just specific to just one.
Right.
Not always anyway. Sometimes it is, but sometimes they kind of, like in John Wick, which I'm a huge fan of, there's a lot of Krav Maga there too, but there's other disciplines as well. And of course, Keanu Reeves was trained in like Kung Fu, you know, from The Matrix. So he already had some background. So they kind of mix it up a little bit, yeah. But there's a lot of, it's Krav Maga heavy there too. Krav Maga is something that's very real world. It's very real world situation. I mean,
that's what I thought you, like with Nico, and I think maybe with, I don't know, but I was going to say with a lot of kids, maybe actual self-defense isn't the highest priority, and it's more about confidence and discipline and being in touch with your more in your body and
absolutely.
Stuff like that. That's kind of what I was thinking about for Nico. But maybe for you as a woman who has to deal with shit, you might want just the stuff that works the most, you know?
Right.
Oh, absolutely. It's and that's kind of what it's all about. It's puts a hurting on someone pretty damn quick. Like it's not a very beautiful type of discipline. Like you can watch karate and kung fu and taekwondo, and it's very beautiful. And you know, I love watching it. The styles, I love all the different styles and kickboxing and things like that. I think it's very beautiful to watch. But yeah, it's, you know, not always about the hardest impact. Krav Maga is very much, if someone approaches you with a gun, it's very quick, short, to the point movements where you are hurting that person that is coming to attack you. Now, like I said, we don't teach it. I mean, again, we're not going out and just punching people in the face. It is about self-defense. You know, if you get attacked with a knife or a gun, or someone comes up behind you and grabs you, you know, very quickly, how do you get out from that hold? And then how do you, you know, get that person away from you? How do you take them out the quickest and the fastest? You literally have two targets. A and B. A is the face, B is the groin. That's what your targets are. I mean, we hit other places, you know, kidney punches, and you can kick in the leg and, you know, things like that. But those are your two main targets that we're always taught. And that's about taking that person out the quickest and the hardest and causing as much pain as possible in a short amount of time. So
that's what our good friend Spencer told me that. He's like, yeah, you can take as many fighting courses as you want, but really you just need to know how to gouge eyes and knee someone in the testicles.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
And that's one to grow on.
Yeah, I mean, that's what
the
it's all about,
you know.
Fat. Because then you got to get away. Because then it's like if somebody, you know, you're wanting to get away from that person. If you're in a dark alley or a parking lot or something, and you know, you want to incapacitate that person and then be able to run away so they can't, like, come after you. And, so yeah, I've gotten pretty good at elbows to the face and knees to the groin.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's fun. I love it. I never want to quit.
That's awesome. Okay, what about notes?
I like it when Amanda called Kreese the geriatric sensei.
She's not wrong.
I know. She always manages to sum up like what everyone's feeling.
Yeah, she's like the voice of reason and the one who's like living outside the mystique of the fantasy of the Karate Kid movies.
Yeah.
And so she's like, is this a midlife crisis? And I need to, Kreese is dangerous. Oh yeah, real dangerous. A geriatric karate coach.
And she's like, I miss the quieter days with dicks on the billboard.
Yeah. There was a lot of Kreese in these episodes. And then Kreese says, when they were talking about Miyagi, you know, I should have taken care of Miyagi years ago. And I'm like, shut up. That old
he refers to him
as an old bastard. I'm like, that old bastard kicked your ass every time you guys met.
I was going to say, every time you came into contact with Miyagi, he was whipping you. What are you talking about?
Well, everything he says is bullshit, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About all his, you know, killing warlords and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and Johnny doesn't know any different because he wasn't around for Karate Kid 3 when, you know, Miyagi really did kick his ass and Terry Silver, you know, at the same time. So, yeah. You know, he doesn't know, but...
Yeah, you know, I read something in an interview where they asked, was it William Zabka, about the moment at the end of the first Karate Kid when he says, when Johnny says, you know, what does he say? You're all right, Daniel, after he wins the tournament.
Yeah.
You're all right, LaRusso. That's what he says. You're all right, LaRusso. And, you know, they sort of suggested that the series is going to explain, you know, what happened there. And he said something like, you know, sometimes when you're caught up in the moment, you feel that way. But then a couple of days later,
something
you're like, wait a minute. Is he all right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But the only reason why that came up in my mind is because I do wonder if Johnny has any sense of gratitude to Mr. Miyagi for pretty much maybe saving his life, you know?
Yeah.
It would be nice to get his take on that in the show at some point.
Yeah.
It would be nice if they touch on that.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Listening to Samantha and Aisha when they were arguing about Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai back and forth, I was like, you know, I just got finished watching some snippets of the Republican and Democratic conventions, and I'm like, it sounds just like Dems and Republicans arguing about their nominations. So I wasn't really too into that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's all my notes.
What do you got, Rima?
The only one that I have that we haven't already talked about, and it's just a funny line. I liked when Johnny's in, I guess, that storage room, and he's painted the wall, and he's putting up his letters, and Miguel comes in, and he's like, oh, hey, that looks really great. And he's like, thanks, I used a level this time. Just, yeah. I don't know why. Just how he just lands his lines and for some reason just made me giggle. I don't know. Just it struck something in me and I laughed pretty hard at that.
Because we didn't see him mess up, but you get it.
Right.
Yeah.
Still learning the basics.
Yeah.
Okay. When the guy at the dealership, I always forget his name, says, you know, I saw your ad. It's great. And I don't think you're culturally appropriating anything. And, you know, it turns out people are commenting about that on Daniel's ad. And I thought, yeah, that seems like a realistic thing that people would say. And I could see some people being upset about it. But, you know, Daniel's like, well, that was Miyagi's favorite song. And I'm glad he kind of brushed it off, you know. Because then when the guy's like, well, you're getting a lot of views, maybe you'll get some students, and Daniel smiles at that. I'm glad they mentioned it, but I'm glad they just kind of brushed it off because I think you can tell Daniel's heart is in the right place and he's just teaching what he learned from his teacher. And so as far as I'm concerned, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I know some people might disagree with that.
Yeah.
There's a suggestion that Kreese is racist. He said, you still got that Mexican? And Johnny says, Miguel's from Ecuador. And Kreese goes, 6 of 1. Like, you know, they're all the same.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me in episode 2, the convenience store guy followed Johnny and Kreese out and he was mad at them and says, hey, why don't you say it to my face next time? And Kreese says, it's called America, big boy, love it or leave it. And we don't know what he said, but seems like it was probably racist. So there's another reason not to like Kreese.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Why you couldn't feel sorry for him.
Right. Daniel tells Samantha that, you know, when he used to work at selling cars, he learned that flashy gimmicks gets customers in the door, but it doesn't ultimately sell cars. And just reminded me a few episodes ago when he and Amanda needed to sell a bunch of cars in one day, and he started taking a bunch of pictures with people doing the crane kick pose. I'm like, wasn't that kind of a gimmick you used to sell cars there?
Yeah, kind of gimmicky when he uses his karate championship on all of his billboards, right? and you know, karate chopping prices. And
well, that's his point. Like, he uses that to get them in the door, but yeah, then he needs to be honest with them once they're there and look them in the mm-hmm. eye. And I guess it's all a part of it too, but I don't know. It just seemed like you were being pretty gimmicky. That's it. That's all I got.
Cool.
Awesome.
So we'll take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us. Okay, we're back. It's time for some news.
All right. So one quick item that I have. So seasons 1 and 2 have been released on Netflix. And we also learned with that unfortunately, it looks like season 3 will not be released until 2021. So I was very incorrect in my theory.
Yeah, ooh.
I was really banking that they would let seasons 1 and 2 kind of marinate with everyone for the first month or two. And then boom, you know, maybe around November, maybe even December as a Christmas gift, give us season 3. But looks like it's not going to happen.
Yet. It might be a Christmas skip for next year.
Oh my gosh. If they wait that long.
They wouldn't. I think they want to give it enough time so that they can have two news cycles, you know, or like two separate promotional pushes. So I don't know. Maybe they could do that in if they were 2 months apart, but hopefully it'll just be in the first few months of 2021.
I hope so.
Why does 2020 hate us so much?
No kidding. So they did release a promotional trailer to promote season 1 and 2, and there was even a little bit of a tease for season 3. Did you guys see that?
Yeah.
I watched it once. Yeah. So we're going to spoil that. It's like 5 seconds or something.
Yeah.
But what it, yeah, tell us about it.
Oh gosh. Well, I don't have it written down. I'm just going off memory. Well,
yeah. It was, he was in Okinawa, right?
He was, yeah.
Yes.
He was in another country, said, I was going to say.
Somebody said, what he said, Miyagi told me everything, and someone
treated
said,
me like a son. Mm-hmm.
Maybe not, like there was some secret that Miyagi didn't tell him.
I have a theory on who that person is. Yeah. Did you get I saw a screenshot. Somebody did like a screenshot of the face of that person. It's a little blurred because they're like in mid motion, but the person that throws Daniel to the ground there in that scene.
Yeah. Is Kumiko. Just kidding.
Considering where the theory of where they're supposed to be for season 3, I think it's Chosen.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah. I would hope so. That'd be awesome.
Wow.
And I think the secret is that Miyagi had an affair with Daniel's mother and Daniel's his son.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Wow.
Or maybe it's Miyagi killed Daniel's father.
Got some weird gene chromosomes going on there.
Yeah.
Some very recessive genes.
Do you think that's
going.
It, Rich, that Miyagi killed Daniel's father when Daniel was 8 years old.
Maybe accidentally.
Just kidding.
During the war.
Yeah. So there's some secret that's interesting. I really hope they don't screw up this season and make it something really dumb. Like what secret would he have?
And also, why is he going to Okinawa? Are they just going to ditch everyone that's been in season 2 and start a whole new cast or something?
I think he's only gonna go to Okinawa for a couple of episodes.
I bet they're teasing it heavily because it's a big part of what part 2 is about, but I bet it won't be the entire season, but they're gonna throw that out there to just, you know, pull everyone back in.
I don't know why I think that. I don't think I read it anywhere, but I just suspect it.
What was Chosen's uncle's name?
Sato,
yeah. Maybe. Now Chosen is the new Sato, huh?
You have to do the Sato voice now, Richard.
I forgot.
Danielson.
That's good.
Good to see you. Why'd you come back?
No talking!
Oh, you guys. So yeah, little bit of a snippet and a teaser there for everyone, but and a little bit of a bummer that we have to wait a little bit longer for season three. But now it'll be awesome because then everyone, you know, it's going to reach a wider audience, season one and two of Cobra Kai. That's a good thing. I think I'm excited for more people to watch it. I know a lot of people, you know, I was in fact talking to my senior master at Krav because I will always reference, you know, Karate Kid or, you know, make little references to it. And I'll mention something about Cobra Kai. And, you know, I asked him one night, I was like, have you seen it? And he goes, nope. And I was like, how come? He's like, I'm not going to get YouTube for that. And I was like, where are you going to watch it when it comes on Netflix? He goes, hell yeah.
That's good. I mean, you know, when Ash vs. Evil Dead was canceled, but then it did go, and I was like, move it over to Netflix, don't cancel it. They did eventually move it over to Netflix, but it, mm-hmm. you know, it was just the reruns. And I don't think they promoted it at all. I don't think it got a huge following. I was kind of hoping that once it moved over to Netflix, a lot more people would see it and then they could revive it. I don't think that happened. With Cobra Kai, that makes me afraid that, oh, maybe they'll move it over to Netflix. I mean, there's so many people that have already seen it on YouTube. Who knows if it will get a much bigger audience, but I feel like since it's an ongoing series that they're going to promote the heck out of it. So hopefully that'll make a big difference. Yeah.
I hope so. Cause the video that I saw was from Netflix. So it looks like Netflix is putting some promotion into it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they had, I saw some video with William Zabka and, Ralph Macchio putting on headbands that had the Netflix logo on it too.
Wow. That's awesome.
Product placement.
Okay. Yeah. So looking forward to that. So next item that I have, another little small item from IGN.com. So Game Mill Entertainment has announced Cobra Kai, The Karate Kid Saga Continues, a new video game to be released on October 27th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch. There is a trailer if you want to go out and watch that trailer for the video game. So Cobra Kai is a two-player side-scrolling beat-em-up in the old-school Double Dragon style. It supports couch co-op play, and you can swap between any of eight characters as you play. Those fighters include Johnny Lawrence, Daniel LaRusso, and more across 28 story missions. Ralph Macchio and William Zabka provide the voices for their iconic characters. That's yeah, isn't that awesome? And each fighter will have their own combos, upgrades, and skill trees. You'll need to complete both the Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do karate campaigns in order to unlock the game's ultimate ending. And yes, there will be boss fights.
Yeah. I wonder if there's going to be fatalities.
Finish him.
Rip Dimitri's spine.
Rip his head off. Yeah.
That would be so satisfying.
What's the first character you would play?
Boss.
I think my first character would be Johnny.
Yeah.
What would you? Sure. You'd play Daniel, huh, Jay? What's the first character you would play?
What are my choices?
Daniel or Johnny? Bruce Lee.
Oh. yeah, Daniel. Me and you can fight.
I want to see that streamed on Twitch or something. I want to see some streaming gameplay of that. So
I hope it's decent. It feels like a cash grab. It's, you know, just like a reskinned Double Dragon, but it does give me hope that I didn't know that William Zabka and Ralph Macchio gave their voices to it. So that's pretty cool. Maybe it'll be fun.
Yeah. Be fun. We'll see when it comes out. Check out the reviews. Yeah. Right. Like always.
Yep.
Yep. That's all I've got.
Cool. Okay. Since we're recording this ahead of time, I did not put up a post about these episodes, but Steve Brown has this uncanny ability to send in feedback no matter through space and time. So I have a call from Steve Brown.
Hello, How is Podcastica? This is Steve, and this is for Cobra Kai season 2, episodes 3 and 4. And just finished watching 3, and man, wow, that ending was quite something. I thought it was interesting, you know, if I was to give my top 3, I guess would be, you know, number 3 would be Daniel offering to do free karate, kind of like you guys when you talked about Karate Kid Part 3. That was one of the things that Terry Silver said, I'll teach for free. I think I got that inflection right on there. and then Daniel, you know, I thought it was his relationship with his wife. This is I hope this doesn't go south. I hope we don't see that they're be more strained things there. But I like the relationship with his wife seems pretty solid, I guess. But it is interesting him using the money for their marketing budget on the commercial, and then there the Valley Fest. Man, that ending with the rock song and the how that's the only thing that kind of makes me ponder. I don't know how much time they had once they found out that Miyagi-Do was going to do a demonstration. That did they really have enough time to put all that together and get it done? All right, I'm going to watch 4.
No.
So I just finished watching episode 4, and I like the way the direction this is going. And I know you guys, I think, you know, a couple of y'all have talked about that season 2 wasn't as good as season 1. And that might end up being true by the end of it. But these first 4 episodes, they're solid, man. I'm sympathizing with Johnny. I'm even sympathizing a little bit with Kreese, although being a veteran, it's hard for somebody to tell stories that are not theirs or that are not real. That just bothers me. But I like the whole fight, that fight scene between Daniel and those three guys there with Robbie. You could definitely see that there were definitely elements of the way Pat Morita was presented when he fought against Terry Silver, when he fought in Karate Kid Part 1. You can see the way Daniel was crouching and everything was really, really great. So I don't want to go too long on this, but can't wait for the rest of the season. Talk to you later.
Yeah, that's a good point. The way he was kind of holding his hands at the end there, it looked like the way Pat Morita used to do.
Yeah.
Wah. You should have said that. That would have been better than "Can your grandpa move like this?"
Yeah.
Maybe not. Saying about you hope his relationship with his wife doesn't go south. I mean, me too. And Daniel really needs to be a better husband. I think he's always about his own thing and, well, just, you know, trying to get back at his karate rivals and build up a dojo for free and all this stuff. And his wife is always his guide and his coach, right, and everything. And man, it would be nice to see him do something nice for her and make her the center.
What? A man being selfish and the woman putting in all the work? That's never, yeah, who's ever heard of that?
What world are we in? He's definitely an ask for forgive. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission.
Yeah.
Kind of attitude.
Oh, well, sorry.
Sure. I got that one
nailed.
Needs
to be a little more balanced there. Yeah, yeah.
Rich. Sorry. You're right.
You always say that.
You're right.
All right, that's our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. That was fun.
Yeah.
Looking forward to more. If you want to write in or record a message and send it in, you can email us at waxonwaxoff@podcastica.com.
We also put up a post for each week's episode on our Facebook page at facebook.com/housepodcastica.
Be sure to check out the other great podcasts at podcastica.com.
Yeah, and Karen and I just did, what the hell did we cover on our most recent Jason and Karen show?
Big Lebowski?
Yeah. Oh yeah, we just did the Big Lebowski on there. So that's on my Patreon exclusive, Jason and Karen. If you're a fan of Karen, we always do a monthly podcast on there.
Dude.
Patreon.com/JasonKaren. Do you like that movie, Rich?
Yeah, that was a good one. I've seen it a few times now.
Pretty funny. I think the more you see it, the more you notice it's one of those kind of movies.
Right, yeah.
Little things.
Fun to see all those guys in their prime, too.
But we did Misery on Walking Dead cast, and I think we're going to do Silence of the Lambs next week.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
Yeah. And you're doing Umbrella Academy, right?
Yeah, we are covering season 2 of The Umbrella Academy on Netflix. It's pretty awesome.
On Strange Indeed. So you can find... Yeah. Links to all those podcasts if you're interested at podcastica.com.
I've got to listen to your podcast, Rena, because I've been watching Umbrella Academy, but I'm watching it slow. I'm only on episode 4.
Oh, well, we just recorded that one, which will be out this week. So, hey, you're just right in tune.
Right in step.
I know. I gotta get on. I gotta get on there.
Yeah, it'd be great.
You should go on there and be a guest.
Yeah. Huh?
If I could be so bold.
Say, Rich is like, what?
No, I wouldn't mind. I mean, I'm all caught up, so.
Next episode of this podcast will be Cobra Kai Season 2, Episodes 5 and 6, All In and Take a Right.
Ah, it's amazing. We're already halfway through.
Yeah.
I know. Such a fast watch. I'm going to miss
it. We have to wait, yeah. But we'll be going on to The Mandalorian, which is supposed to come out in October, Season 2. So I think that's what's going to be next on House Podcastica once we finish up with Season 2 of Cobra Kai. So...
yeah, that's exciting too.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
All right, that's our show.
Thanks for listening.
Good job, guys. Now, send it to the internet!
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal. At Humana, our Medicare Advantage plans give you coverage and care you can count on, along with guided support to help you feel your best. You could have a plan with a $0 premium or an all-in-one plan that may include medical and prescription coverage, as well as routine dental, vision, and hearing. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.